Last few weeks, we have been looking at prayer through lots of different topics. So think back, if you were here, found the purpose of prayer is to build a relationship with God. We found that we need to be ready to listen, to be still before God. We learned from Jeremy that we can't change God through our prayers. And we learned from Ian that prayer really does make a difference. And last week, except sometimes it feels like it doesn't make a difference. There's a lot to take on, isn't there? And perhaps it's getting a bit overwhelming. But you might also be getting overwhelmed by all the things that you could be praying for, whether that's for yourself or your family or your friends. It might be all the things that are put into the newsletter each week. And we've had a lot of people and situations to pray for here at Christchurch over the last few months. And as Joel said, you only have to switch on the television or the radio, or open a newspaper or however you get your news, and it doesn't look great out there, does it? It sometimes feels things are getting worse, not better. It feels, well, where is God in all of this? And there's a final way I think you might be overwhelmed. Well, it's happened to me sometimes. And there's a feeling perhaps of remorse or guilt. That if only you had prayed a bit harder, if you only prayed a bit longer, if you only prayed at all, or with more faith, that a different outcome might have happened. So let's see if we unpack this passage, whether we can get some help, because I think we can. I felt as I prepared this, I got a better understanding of prayer. And it starts with the disciples asking, teach us to pray. But this is part of a bigger passage in the Bible, a bigger section. Sort of the first 10 chapters of Luke are all about who Jesus is. And then this middle section, 10 chapters, is like what it means to live in the kingdom, what the kingdom's like. And so if we just pick out just one little bit, like the Lord's Prayer, or the ask, seek, and knock, I think we do, we get bogged down. We don't see the wood for the trees, as it were. And that particularly, that one about ask, seek, knock, I find really troubling, really difficult, because it seems so like a promise, if you like. And it seems back to that thing about remorse and trouble. It means all the emphasis on our efforts or lack of them, whether the prayer works or not. Like I said, it's painfully obvious that not all prayers seem to be answered in the way that we would want them to be or like them to be. But if we put it in the passage, in the whole passage about what it means to be a disciple, what it means to be someone who follows the way, if we look back into chapter 9 and 10, Jesus is very clear that it's not going to be easy. The way leads to Jerusalem, leads to the death on the cross. It will lead to pain and hardship. We need to give up things which are dear to us. It teaches the first will be last and the last will be first. And that our efforts will make no difference to the way in which God will love us or treat us. It's very much about finding and seeking God's will for our lives and surrendering ourselves to God as King and Saviour. And so it's perhaps not surprising the disciples and us are thinking at this point, well, this is tough. How are we going to cope? How does Jesus cope with all this? And they see that he puts a great importance and a priority in his prayer life. He prays regularly and makes time for it. So they ask, teach us how to pray. Help prepare us for what's coming. And I think there's three things in this passage. Why we can be confident in prayer. He gives us a pattern and practice of prayer. And he says what we will receive through prayer. So the confidence, I think, comes from this rather strange set of images that are in verses 11 and 12. It says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? And notice there's the fathers. You're talking about fathers there. The Lord's Prayer starts with Father, our Father. Give us. So the Lord's Prayer starts with us going to the Father, the children going to the Father and asking for something. And so at the end, we've got this image of the Father giving good things to those who ask. Not bad things, but good things. Although the implication is that the Father does give the child a fish or an egg, in Matthew's version, it's bread as well, he doesn't actually say that he will give what the person asks for. He just says he won't give something bad. In fact, he'll give us something even better. C.S. Lewis has an illustration for this where he imagines a child is happily playing in the mud outside his house, making mud pies in the puddle. And his parents say, come and get ready, we're going to the seaside. But the child has never been to the seaside. He doesn't know what it's like. And so the child says, but I don't want to go to the seaside. I like it in the mud down here. It seems ridiculous, doesn't it? But oh, we like that sometimes. We know what we like and we want to hold on to it. But Jesus and God are saying, no, there's something much better. We humans didn't know we wanted Jesus. We didn't know we wanted God's forgiveness. We didn't know we wanted the cross and salvation. But God poured out all that into the world so that we might know Jesus and God better. When we pray to a Father who longs to give us good things, because that's who he is. That's what his nature is. So we can have confidence in our prayers and not going to someone who's going to not hear them or try and give us something that we don't want or need. So with that confidence, Jesus gives us a pattern of prayer, the Lord's Prayer, which reflects this, but also the bigger context. So whole books have been written about the Lord's Prayer, so I'm not going to go into a huge amount of detail. We know it so well, we say it most services, you might say it at home on a regular basis. But at its heart, it says, ask God the Father that your kingdom come, your will be done. That's in the Matthew version. Because that's the world we want to live in, isn't it? The kingdom where God rules and reigns in the hearts of everybody who's in that kingdom. Where God's will is done. What a place that would be. It's a picture of, well, heaven, I guess. If Putin, Trump, you name it, whichever dictator you want to put into that or ruler that you know, every politician always sought God's will and wanted his kingdom to be brought forward. What a world that would be in. So if that's the heart of the prayer, then the rest of it is actually almost incidental. You know, please provide for us, forgive us, help us to live in the right way and keep us out of harm. And that's it. Because if the kingdom's right, if those things right, if the will is right, then being a disciple becomes easier. So if that's the pattern, so perhaps how do we then put it into practice? So there is a pattern, what about practice? Jesus goes on to say that we need to be bold, impudent with our prayers, some translations say. Yet because of the man's boldness, he'll get up and give him as much as he needs. This is a passage, a little story about there's quite a lot of friends in it. There's a friend of a friend of a friend. But basically, someone's come to your house, you haven't got enough, so you go to your neighbour, your friend, and ask for some bread. And the guy doesn't get up because he's your friend, your neighbour, because your boldness. So be bold in your prayers, Jesus is saying. And then it comes to this passage about ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. Everyone knocks, the door will be opened. So being persistent, in other words. And this is how this is often sort of described. It's like, you know, be bold, be persistent, and then your prayers will be answered. But that's not what it says here. So I worked with someone called Richard many years ago now. And when he was about 28, 29, he got bowel cancer. And he was a man of faith. He was went to church over at Farnborough. I think Nick actually knew him. And he seemed to recover and came back to work. And then he got a pain in his back. And prayers were told, were said for him, many, many prayers, but he died of cancer, aged, I think, about 35, something like that. So it's troubling, isn't it, this ask, seek, knock, and everyone will receive, and it seems like a promise which is too much. Well, and I'm sure you've all got stories similar to that. Well, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I did read something from someone who was a Greek scholar this week. And it's interesting, the will is not translated that way in the King James Bible. It's actually translated as shall. And this is an old-fashioned difference, which is, I think, was lost in language today. And so this author and priest, he sort of said, we've always got like the emphasis wrong. It should be something more like to receive, ask. To find, seek. To have the door opened, knock. Sort of if you don't ask, you're not going to get it. It's like sort of, you know, sometimes have this image of, or we're told that God is not like a vending machine. You know, you can't just put in your coins and you'll get something out. But if you never put a coin in, you'll never get anything out. You've got to try. So it says, ask, seek, knock. In the light of the Father, I said, who knows best and give us what we need. Because actually, I think also, it's in the act of prayer, doing prayer, that we actually receive the greatest gifts, and that's that relationship with God, an understanding of his will, how we get into the kingdom. Because what are we knocking on? When this passage said we knock, what are we knocking on? We're knocking on the door of the kingdom. And what are we asking for and seeking? We're seeking for his will to be done in our lives and the lives that we love. And if we keep on seeking and knocking, and we keep persisting in that, the more we'll understand God's will and more that we'll understand his kingdom. I think that's the discipleship and the way of prayer and life into which Jesus is asking us. It's not to say we can't ask for other things as well, but at the heart, that is what Jesus is saying. That's the pattern and the persistence. So what do we then receive? Well, the promise which it ends with, and it's not in the Matthew version, which is why I wanted the Luke version. I think we sometimes skip over it. But it finishes with, if you then, though you are evil, skip over that bit, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Because the one thing we need more than anything is the Holy Spirit. More Holy Spirit in our lives, Lord. We pray it all the time, come Holy Spirit. And we'll always receive it. God, that's the promise, that God will always send his Holy Spirit to us. No matter what we ask for, whatever we pray for, we will always receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is already within us as Christians. It's praying through us. There's a cycle here of prayer that we give back to God what's already in our hearts, what he's already put in our hearts. And I think it's the Holy Spirit which will help us feeling overwhelmed with prayer, which is where I started this talk. Paul in his passage says, particularly in the middle there, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So if we bring our hopes and fears to God in prayer, he'll give us peace in return. Now, I don't have many stories about this and how it might happen. And so some of you may have heard this before, but when my son Tom was 11, we went to a holiday in Ukraine. And he, about halfway through, he got appendicitis. And we had some friends in Kyiv who helped translate for us. But he was very ill. He was very, very sick. And we watched him being wheeled off on a trolley down a corridor in a hospital in Kyiv. And we didn't know what was going to happen to him. We didn't know what he was going to be, whether he was going to be healed, what was happening. And our worry and, you know, you can imagine, just went up through the roof. And I managed to phone Adam Warner, who took a phone call from me. There's a bit of misunderstanding what the phone call was about to begin with. And he put the word out to pray. And we prayed. And we still didn't know. This is before he came out of surgery. You know, spoiler, he was fine. But at that point, we didn't know. We did not know what was going to happen. But we found a great peace at that point. We found that there was rock, there was foundation underneath all the swirling fear and uncertainty, that there was solid rock we could put our hope on. And it transcends all understanding, as it says, the peace of God which transcends all understanding. And that's for us as well, isn't it? For anyone, if we're feeling overwhelmed by prayer or overwhelmed by the world situation around us and thinking, what do I pray for? And we might get discouraged. We think, well, it's not working. And that's wrong thinking, isn't it? Because we're putting us at the centre and not God. Because if we think it's through our prayer efforts that things happen, or if we don't pray for something, it won't happen, that way leads to destruction. In fact, it leads to potentially being separated from God, which I think is why it says here, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Because our hearts and minds can be under attack when we start doubting whether our prayers work, or whether God's there, or what he's doing. So pour out your hearts and minds to God in prayer. You know, I sort of say it doesn't matter what you pray for. It does, because it's what's on your heart. But actually, it's the act of prayer. It's the act of giving it to God through which true peace in your life will happen. And the Holy Spirit will guard your heart. So whatever's troubling us, or whatever's giving us anxiety now, pray about it. Give it to God. Let him do his thing, because we've done ours. And the song we're about to hear, which the band can come up and play, it's an old favourite. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. But actually, it's those lines in the middle there, verse 1. It says, oh, what a peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. So whatever's burdening you, whatever pain you're carrying, give it to God. Give it to God in prayer. Carry everything to God in prayer. Amen.